Man, you come straight out of a coma. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Straight Out of a Comic Book. You already know what this show is about. We just talking about all kind of entertainment, nerd, movie, comic book shit, and we just don't hold back. That's why I got three of the rawest motherfuckers I know who are knowledgeable in the comic book, the movie entertainment realm, who also too don't hold shit back, don't care about popular opinions, anything. And that's why I love having them on this show. Of course, we got Young Deuce from the Geek Set podcast. We got CT in the building. Of course, we got Dion Lack here as well. And we are jumping into the meat and potatoes of this. You see the shirt?
Hey.
The Batman.
See the background?
You see the background? His is way better than just the shirt. Everybody dressed in black for this.
You should call this podcast Black Laxatives. Why? Because we don't hold back shit. Let's go.
That just need to be a whole segment. That just need to be a whole segment. Just a straight, that's the 1 minute hot take on whatever time. Right there. But before we do get started, anybody that is watching this, if you have not seen The Batman with Robert Pattinson and, of course, Zoe Kravitz, you need to start watching this because we finna talk about this shit all the way. We're giving it a full breakdown and we are not we giving away everything. So this is going to come out around time. Like, hey, you have had enough time to see this. You've had enough time to watch it, had enough time to go check it out. It's time to talk about it. So, fellas, are y'all ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Let's dive into this, fellas. All right.
We break. First, this has already been a week that people have had to be able to have seen it by the time of us recording this. Two, I loved the movie. I'm going to preface it by saying I loved the movie for what it was. Like, in this universe, I loved it. Would I like to see it transition to other? No. For this world, it made sense.
Yes. Were you on board when they announced the casting? Because for me, I was not.
No, because it was like, I wasn't on board because one, everybody's like, yo, Ben Affleck is the best Batman. And it's like, I can't give him that because he's never had a solo film.
Right.
So when they announced Robert Pattinson, I was like, come on. First, I'm tired of seeing Batman be rebooted. Two, I'm very annoyed that Ben Affleck didn't get his fair shake because Live by Night bombed and Warner Brothers was like, you can't direct a Batman movie anymore because the movie you just directed bombed. And it's like, fam, how many other movies did he have that went over 100 million or just successful in general? You're going to take this away. And Robert Pattinson, because it was between him and the guy who plays Beast on the X-Men movies to play Batman.
Nicholas
Holt.
Yeah.
So, it was like, I was like, come on, bro. But we did get a great Catwoman out of this a great Penguin because none of us thought.
I did not know that was Colin Farrell.
Really?
Until the credits.
I can see it right here. Like, I see it in the eyes. Like, that's where I saw it.
The guy from Spin City. That's what I was.
if they didn't highlight how much, like, how unrecognizable he was with like the makeup and everything, because similar to how you approach movies, CT, how you don't watch trailer. I only watch the first one. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I don't watch anymore. Mm-hmm. So at the time I was like, dang, I was like, who is that? I didn't realize that was Colin Farrell until the articles start coming out. Like, he's unrecognizable. And I said, what? Like, I did not know that was bro. But yeah, with Robert Pattinson, I just like most men, I got dragged and I seen all the Twilight movies. And so I held that was my introduction to Robert Pattinson. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of like what I held him to. And like, I saw all the other stuff that he did, but I was just like, you know, thinking about Bruce, thinking about Batman, I said, he doesn't give it to me. I was like, I can't see it at all. And so when they announced the casting, I was completely off until that first trailer. And that first trailer, I said, all right, I think I'm going to give this a fair shot. I'm going to see it regardless because, I mean, as much as I love DC and Batman, I was definitely still going to see it, but I was on the fence. I was way off the fence before. Then when they gave me the trailer, I said, all right, I'm going to give it a fair shot.
Here's my take. I think he was a good young Batman. He was a bad Bruce Wayne.
Horrible Bruce Wayne.
But we've never seen a teenage Bruce Wayne. We've always seen him as an adult. So we don't know how attached he was to his father, his money, like he was like how he got inspired. We don't know if this Bruce Wayne met Ra's al Ghul, knew the whole fighting and the ninja. How did he learn how to fight? We don't know that aspect of like.
Well, Alfred trained him. He had mention that. He said, I taught you how to fight and everything like that in one of the parts when I went saw it the second time. So Alfred is the one that actually trained him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't know there was a bomb in the package. Okay. He couldn't sense that.
This was year two, right?
For the movie, I did like it as a Chinatown 7 sort of mystery movie versus watching it as a superhero movie. The slow pacing was great for a thriller, a mystery movie. Attaching action superhero movie should not be with this movie. So when you take the wings off of superhero, you start to appreciate it a lot more.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Just even trace back to like Colin Farrell's thing. So everybody felt the same exact way. Like even people on set didn't know that was him. Like the guy that played Falcone didn't know it until the premiere.
Even the makeup artist didn't know.
Yeah, no, he was like, "Yo, I did not know that was like." He mentioned it in the interview, like he did not know that was Colin Farrell until like the red carpet premiere, and they told him, "It's like, yeah, he was playing Penguin."
And so they don't look at the call sheet. The fuck?
That's what I was just like, yo, it's like, yo, like how did this work?
Accidentally say, hey, yo, Colin, come here.
Yeah, like, they went to like, what, like, how much of a method actor was he doing in this? I'm like, and then as far as like Robert Pattinson goes, like me, I'm always go against the grain, march, beat of the old drum. So I was one of the only people who thought Heath Ledger was gonna be a dope Joker when they first announced. They was like, nah, fuck that. The dude from Brokeback Mountain. I was like, watch, he gonna kill that shit.
I forgot that.
Right, see, but that was what everybody kept resulting to. But the same thing now with like Robert Pattinson and Twilight. Now, when I heard it announced, I had already seen him in something outside of Twilight. I always forget the name, but it's the one he did with William Dafoe that's in black and white. And I was like, yo, this dude can really act. I was like, okay. And then so when I heard he was like Batman, I was like, I don't like. And the first thing I thought about was, I don't like your chin. Your chin not gonna represent Batman well. It don't look right. But then too, I started hearing different things. Like I saw the first glimpse when it was doing like the red, when it was in all red, and it was showing the suit. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, I was like, okay, which Batman is this? And then I found out it was year two Batman. And I was like, okay, this now starts to make a little more sense why he got cast. And for me, I don't think he was in any way the best Bruce Wayne, but I think like how Dion said and how you said, CT, he was a great Bruce Wayne for this story.
For this, yeah.
Like, yeah, like I love to see like the whole, the daddy issues, the I'm still not over it. It was kind of cringy of like, you're not my father. It's like, yo, how old are you? But then then you start thinking about, well, wait, how old are you though?
Mm-hmm.
And how long ago was this? Especially when you see him like glimpse at like that child at the beginning of the stuff. It's like, how much does this still affect you? And we also can see that, okay, you haven't donned the Bruce Wayne mask as we know, right, like in the Batman story. So yeah. I like that, and I like the setting and stuff like that. But like going back to the other characters though, so how did y'all feel about Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman?
Best Catwoman we've had since Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm talking about, absolutely, I loved Anne Hathaway coming out of her shell as an actress playing Catwoman, because we had never gotten a chance to see her be like confident and sexy outside of Devil Wears Prada. And that was that. She was not Catwoman. I didn't,
She's adorable. She's not sexy.
She was sexy in that movie.
Fictional. Maybe.
Anne Hathaway, listen, if you see Anne Hathaway's Princess Diaries and then you see her in The Dark Knight Rises, you're like, oh, this is sexy. I'm not talking about Catwoman sexy. I'm talking about just sexy. Right. Now, when we talk about Catwomen, I hated her mask in that movie. But when we get to Zoe, I felt like Michelle Pfeiffer came through her performance and was like, yo, Yeah. Keep doing your thing, bitch. Like, that's what it felt like. Yeah. Felt that shit.
Yeah, yeah. What about Eartha Kitt? You like, I like Eartha Kitt better.
Come on, brother. I'm 35. Anyway, when you look at
don't do that. When you I ain't talking at, about an 87. My God. I ain't talking about that one. I'm talking about.
I didn't watch Adam West's Batman.
Which one is sexier, Marcus or Catwoman? Which one are you saying is sexier?
Looking at the Catwoman, Zoe Kravitz embodied that shit. You got to remember, she's also year one, year two Catwoman. Yep. That's the thing that saved this entire movie, was knowing and remembering it's year two.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't think, that's what I love about this Catwoman is when you look at it, like I said, she had the balance between, you know, like being fierce, but also being sexy. And she was just learning the art of seduction, like how she can get what she wants and using that. And we got to see that in this movie. We got to see her figure out how to utilize that, figure out the right and the wrong. You know, she already was working in the underbelly of Gotham. She was already there. But like, you know, even with her relationship with Bruce and just I just felt like it was a really good balance of the, like, when you think about Catwoman, you think about this sexy individual who also, like, is, you know, still a villain, but also not necessarily a villain because she's really out for herself. Mm. And so it's like, you know, it's like you gotta have that balance. And I felt that like Zoe definitely did that in this. Like, she gave us that balance. And like you said, with the perspective of knowing that this is year two, knowing that this is not Catwoman who's been doing this for years and everything, is still Cat, this is year two, like that helped it with that as well, because you got that more grounded of the character.
Well, yeah. Listen to this real quick. If we could compare, and I'm not comparing a Marvel movie to a DC movie ever, I'm saying if we can compare storyline times for how Spider-Man, Tom Holland Spider-Man, was from Homecoming to No Way Home, for what this Batman will be, I feel like we won't get the Batman that we deserve until movie four, to where like he's fully, you know, Batman, he's a great Bruce Wayne, and he's got the season. I think that'll be like the fourth movie, because that's another reason they went young. They want him to be around forever. Hopefully they were smart enough to sign him to a six movie contract instead of just three.
Damn, Ben Affleck had a long ass contract, but people didn't support the film, so they keep rebooting themselves, man.
No, that was not the truth. Ben Affleck didn't get the full on movie because his Live by Night movie bombed. That's how they do it, Warner Brothers. If your project over here, you like, hey, we love you because you just came off of a hot movie, and they're like, hey, do this other one. They're like, all right, bet. And then when you do that other movie, if it doesn't do well, they relate that to the one that you have standing with them. Is no different than when Snyder had delivered Batman versus Superman and it didn't do what they thought that it was going to do. So they were like, we got to find a way to get this dude out. So when Justice League was already about to release, they had already made their decision that, oh, great, he's had this tragedy, let's get him out of here.
Yeah, and that was wild.
Do you think this movie is going to be a standalone like the Joker, or is it going to try to tie in?
No, he already said he got a second one coming. And he didn't want to tie it in.
Yep, and they announced the series already. And that's where I'm excited about it, because I feel like I always said, I was like, though it's always DC versus Marvel, DC should not follow Marvel's blueprint. No. DC should come up with their own blueprint. And the fact that they're doing a movie that's going straight into a series that's going, then they're going to give us a second movie, that's completely different. The one thing that I do applaud them for doing, which I said Marvel did flawlessly, and I think that is a good basis, is that, like I said, we talked about Marvel launching with Iron Man when we had our last conversation, as how Iron Man was not the biggest character, but he was known enough that, and it started off that whole universe. With Riddler being the first villain in this, and, you know, Glimpse of Penguin, like, we know Batman's rogue gallery front and back. He has the most famous rogue gallery in all of comics. Mm-hmm. And to start with the Riddler and then build upon that, I think that's, like I said, to me, that gives you that anticipation, like, oh, shit, I can't wait till Joker finally pops up. Oh, man, I can't wait till we see this. Like, you can't see... You can't wait to see the big name character. So I think that with them starting off with Riddler, him being known enough, but not, you know, the main big villain of Batman. I think that that's what, how you launch off a whole world, a whole universe, because it's like you get into that.
I disagree with one part, if I may. Yeah. I'm sorry. The only part I want to disagree with is that DC is doing something different than Marvel with the movie and then the series, because they're doing the exact same thing as Disney, Marvel, because that's what Marvel's doing. Like, they'll drop the movie, they'll drop this TV show, and they need you to watch the TV show because this character might not be popular enough to carry a movie, but we need to get this information out. So by the time you see the movie, everything ties in.
That's what Marvel's doing now. I think, I guess I'm saying as the start, like DC starting that way versus how Marvel started. That's what I meant by that.
Oh,
like,
gotcha.
That's exactly what Marvel's doing now.
Yeah,
but I think too, though, it actually, like with this movie, it kind of flipped that with the big names. Now, too, like another thing they are kind of doing with Marvel is you want to see the ones we haven't seen now. So it's like, yo, even the way you reimagined Riddler, it's like, yo, I never imagined Riddler creepy and stuff. So it's like, yo, to see this guy and to see what he's done. And you know, we're gonna get to a part that I know Dion couldn't stand, especially when it gets to the end. But it's like, to see that reimagining, like, now I want to see, like, what are you gonna do with Clayface? Like, what happens when Black Mask is here? It's like, you now, and especially like the way they made, because for me, it wasn't Batman that I was more focused on. It was the fact of like, yo, this is the first time I've seen Gotham come to life on on the big screen. This is the first time I'm just like, yo, this looks like Gotham. Christopher Nolan did a great job of putting our realism together, but this one is like, yo, this is Gotham.
So this this was a heist for the Riddler, and he won.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about
Thanos, pretty much?
What you say about Gotham? Up until this point, I praised Tim Burton's Gotham high. Because I said, even though it was campy and comical, I said, that Gotham felt dangerous versus Nolan's Gotham. Nolan's Gotham looked like a regular city that just did everyday other crime. But I was like, that Gotham, Burton's Gotham felt like real crazy. So when I saw this one, I said, whoa, this blew Burton's Gotham out of the water. I was like, that.
Always
rings.
I can't blow it out. Yeah. I can't say blow it out the water. No, because there's a magic to Tim Burton's Gotham that you can't take away. Yeah, like that, the tones, everything. But this Gotham, I think, was able to combine Nolan's and Burton's together.
That's the thing. So Will, to your point, looking at Nolan's Gotham and looking at Matt Reeves's Gotham, Nolan's Gotham was extremely real for 2007. I mean, 2000, what was it, 2005? 2006 is when that first one came out. So it's like, look at that one, and you're like, all right, this is good, but that Gotham felt very white-collar crime. Like, if you weren't involved in high-stakes money, you would be safe in Gotham. Which
you
is
can see that on CNN right now.
Exactly. Like, yeah. That's what it felt like. Whereas this Gotham, they showed immediately, like, hey, yo, even if you're working as a taxi driver, you can get it. I didn't feel safe, bro. I felt like every cop was dirty. It was exactly what is Gotham. And in Tim Burton's Gotham, it felt that same vibe, but 80s. It's like everybody can get it, because he dealt off with the homeless hobos in the very beginning of the movie, in the first Batman, to show you how low the crime was. Yeah. They robbing people in alleys. So Tim Burton was the greatest Batman for that time period, and Nolan's was for his. And I think this Matt Reeves joint was a great depiction on realism, even in this comic book.
Absolutely. You guys know the Riddler was based off of the Zodiac Killer.
Really?
He was, I looked at the picture. I'm just looking up for it now. It was based off of that, and how they see the glasses and stuff. And when you take off the glasses, he has that, like, the little white face right there.
Yeah.
Don't look at that guy, but this one right here.
Whoa.
So they definitely based it off of that. And what I found out is, did you guys figure out who the guy at the end was?
No.
That's Two-Face.
No, they're going in the direction of
I thought they confirmed it was Joker.
Into a Joker.
And it's played by the actor from Eternals.
Yeah, it's played by what's his name?
The guy with the mental problems from
Barry Keoghan.
Powers, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
It's too early for Joker, bro.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
It's like, why? Why?
There's
like,
so many. There's so many Batman villains that you could go to before you even touch the Joker.
I still say Clayface. Like I even thought Clayface of a dope really for Clayface. Good. Like if he just had like a disease that basically like allows him to stretch his shit. Yeah. And then he starts just warping, and that's what he does to warp his stuff. But what happens is, like we say, he forgets what he looks like because he's done it so much, and then that starts to drive him crazy that he can't put his face back together. So that leads him to start doing shit.
I like the story. Go ahead, Deuces.
I was just gonna say, in regards to just villains that I would like to see, I was thinking Zazz. Because I was thinking in this world and how crazy it is to have somebody like Zazz pop up would be dope. As, you know what I'm saying? As somebody, you know, as an unlikely character to see, you know, in a movie.
Clayface is fire. I think the story that I loved origin-wise of Clayface the best was when there was, and I know you saw this, Will, the animated series, the new one, not Kevin Conroy's joint, but the next one, the Romano joint, where Clayface was a police detective first, and he was a police detective, and he ended up falling into this like, you know, the chemical joint. But I also love the other they always fall in the vet. I love the first version of the animated series where Clayface was the character that he had, like you said, Will, a disease, and he needed this this cream that this company made, and the cream made it worse, and he kept getting addicted to the cream and became this like monster villain because it seemed grounded enough to where all the chemicals in Gotham, that could be realistic.
That could be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Dion?
Matt Reeves agreed to do a Mr. Freeze sequel.
What a Mr. Freeze sequel?
I mean, not a sequel, but he's gonna be the next villain.
The main villain.
He has said we threw around the idea of having a guy who was really good with ice or who knew how to control water to fix the problem from the first movie. And then obviously he doesn't get paid, like something thrown around,
kind of on board now.
that'd actually be dope too, because with the rock, like with Pinga getting his own series and that rise, that could also set the tone to change Gotham's like grimy tone to like that now cold, cool with ice everywhere. Because you know, like when you think of Iceberg Lounge, you remember like it being very
Iceberg Lounge.
So it's like seeing that and having to go back there to talk to them.
Turn villain. He realized he's not getting paid like he's supposed to. Like, I saved this community. I saved Gotham. You know, we were going underground or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Send this to the group, Deion, because I did not see that
or know about it. The only
I said thing, nigga. I didn't say show.
the only thing that I would hope they just try to bring in is that how they're going to bring in Nora, because that's a huge part of his motivation.
This could actually be the first time you actually see Nora alive. Mm-hmm. So it could be that. Yeah. And then also, too, we could see what happened. Because like you said, like he said, if he's dealing with like the seawall and trying to put it together, and he may have came up with some stuff that actually is getting her sick. And then that's what caused her for that to happen. And then that's also, too, what starts to kind of drive him to do the stuff he's doing.
I would love to see a true, like, okay, what I've loved about the last few superhero films is that they've been really laser focused on the telling of how that villain isn't really a villain. Like, they've shown their motivation and how they came about. And Freeze is probably one of the greatest underutilized characters in Batman, because we always see Nora after she's frozen. We always see Victor after he's already the super cold hearted motherfucker. We might have seen a glimpse or two before he became Mr. Freeze, but I want to see him be Victor before Freeze even comes about, and then that breaking point. That's what I want to see.
Because even in Gotham, they didn't dive into Nora. Like in the show Gotham.
They didn't. There hasn't been one like a few things they can really clear up. We haven't seen that. One thing they even did for Catwoman was like we actually got to see Catwoman's like personality in depth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like with Michelle Pfeiffer, she had just became that, so we seeing her get used to it. Like you said, Anne Hathaway was already in it, but this one we got to see all the layers of Catwoman, the confidence, but also to the vulnerability of people she cares about, why she keeps the cats around. Like, you really got to see who Selina Kyle is before she becomes the full Catwoman.
I bet that house stank.
Right?
All strays. Ugh.
I was like, ew.
You disregarding Halle Berry's Catwoman where she showed that?
You know we disregard that bullshit. Like, how dare you?
Listen. I don't knock Halle Berry being Catwoman. Whoever wrote that story, though, sharpen some pencils and follow. That's all I'm saying.
Halle Berry is sexy. Like, she's the first incarnation of a Zoe. But the material she had to work with. I've never blamed Halle Berry for Catwoman. Yeah. I've only blamed people who were responsible in producing that bullshit.
Yeah. She was her playing basketball and doing the backflip and dunking. I was like,
well, they made her like an actual Catwoman. Remember, they had her licking out of a bowl and cleaning herself. That's like
her eyes changed and stuff like that. I was like, it's like
whoever wrote it didn't know nothing about the source material.
No. And then you were given.
Remember. Go ahead, Will.
And I was like, and you were given Halle Berry as your lead, and that's what you did.
So it's like coming off of a Grammy. I mean, Oscar.
You got to remember this, man. And I had this conversation literally yesterday with Shantae Wayans. The movies from 1999 until about 2006 with special effects were trash. There were a couple that came through. You're like, oh, this is pretty good. But there was a style of CGI and storytelling and special effects in that time period that were still figuring it out. Right. So because of their mistakes, we were able to get the movies after 2006 and be like, oh my God, this is amazing. But before then, they were still in the infant stages and everything suffered. Catwoman was a casualty.
Yep. That's why
I'm going to say this and y'all going to hate me for this. This is why I think Star Wars is so successful, because it was groundbreaking. For me, I don't like the franchise at all. But I feel like at that time, it was like, yo, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like this in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, and I watched the story and I was like, this story's just not great. It just feels.
Yeah. Here we go. Now you didn't say some shit before. But I gotta say, Dion.
Go for it.
We on the same side of this fence, bro. Same
fucking side.
I always ask this. Star Wars fan over here? Okay, I'll ask you this. What is Star Wars about? What is Star Wars about?
A Death Star, apparently.
Okay, no Star Wars fan can ever simply tell me what Star Wars is about.
I mean, I treat Star Wars the way I treat Apple. I acknowledge their flaws, but I still like the product. I acknowledge that, like, they literally told the same story three times.
Yeah.
in three episodes. But I feel like now they're finally getting it. I feel like now with the shows. Like,
Mandalorian's great.
Yeah, Mandalorian, Boba Fett.
Yeah, all of that's good.
So I acknowledge that there are definitely some flaws, but I still love Star Wars. But I don't want to derail us.
The only thing I had a problem with, Dion, is how you pronounce successful.
Damn it, do I hate?
That's the only bad. All Star Wars
success. I ain't never letting go success.
But Star Wars only deals with Death Stars. I'm like, bro, can we? And I watched one of the movies, and it was so easy for them to get to the boss villain. And I was like, if this is how easy it was, they should have went here in the beginning of the movie.
But the plan, though, like, listen, we got a whole ship that can blow up a planet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make a shaft that a laser can go through and blow the whole shit up.
Yeah. They fixed it in Rogue One, though.
They fixed it, and then they created it's like every time they create a Death Star, it has a weak point. They're like, and I was like, at some point, cover up the weak point.
Who has built this? Yeah. That's what you need to find out. That's
funny. Yeah. The engineer was like, you think we should cover this up? Nah, let's just kind of leave.
Nobody's ever going to get to it. We're going to blow up their whole
right.
Oh, you're right.
The second engineer was like, a gate around it or a wall. No.
The second engineer was like, hey, didn't didn't that destroy us last time? Like, nah, nah.
Well, yeah, yeah, but this, they wouldn't think to do it twice.
No way.
There's no always, way.
They always have the rumors this villain. Contained. It's like a Hydra, the way Star Wars is. It's like they get rid of the main villain, and apparently that main villain was a pawn, and they have eight more people to take that person's place. So you never have an opportunity to take off the head of the snake, and that's something that was very unfulfilling about watching Star Wars compared to Power Rangers for me, where, yo, you got Rita, you got Zed. Rita has a father that they never really dove into, who was supposed to be like this all-powerful dude, but we know who the people are instead of... And after they kill that villain, they get a new power, and apparently there's a new villain for that power that's like, hey, hold on a second, now, this is what I've been trying to get for centuries. And it's like, all right, bet. But Star Wars is like Grandmaster this and Supreme Leader that. And it's like, who the fuck is the leader?
So it was a new nigga in a black hood. It was part of the plan. Like, who the fuck is this now?
But the funny show, he's part about Star Wars.
Driver's face way too fast. He was like minute five. He was like, this is who I am. I was like, hey, cover your face up.
Who told you that have a hood?
The funniest thing about Star Wars too is that it's like, fam. So there's like, how many evil corporations are there in this universe? And why is everybody able to amass such a big army and go unchecked? Like every time a villain ends, the next villain seems to come immediately with their massive army. Like, fam, wait. So like,
why didn't you help us with him?
Like, when did you create this?
You're starting to agree with us now. Come on over to the side.
Yeah, come on over. We got a lot. We're gonna save that for another episode though, because this one is about the Batman.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Whatever.
No, it's all good. Cause y'all, we're talking about.
Also, shout out and honorable mention to John Turturro. He doesn't get enough credit.
He does not.
Brother, he's been fired to me since Mr. Deeds. Like, being able to be so funny and be such an amazing dramatic actor.
Underestimate brother, my sneakiness.
That's my favorite line. The only bad thing that I have to say about his character is I wish he was yoked, because Falcone was supposed to be yoked.
Yoked
nigga. You know what I mean?
Like, because I thought he was going to be Maroney at first. Because I was like, Maroney ain't really all that big. I was like, he'd have been perfect for that. But then it was like, he was Falcone. It's like, okay, I get where y'all going with it. Okay. Yeah. But also, too, you know, Penguin ain't supposed to be as massive. You know, Penguin kind of supposed to be a little stubby and stuff like that. But this is like, we get this Penguin who looks like a real mobster.
But you got to remember, Will, and this is another thing I love. I'm so glad you said that. This movie looks exactly like the Arkham series. So Colin Farrell's Penguin looks exactly like the video game Penguin. Everybody, even Alfred, like everybody looks like how they did in the video game series, including Batman's suit.
Oh yeah. Except Riddler. Riddler was the only one that they went different with
design-wise. Yeah.
I hate that his jawline was up here. Like, why was this much of his mask open? Like, it's usually
that shit just kept bothering me. Just I was like, what is this dominatrix shit you got right here on the nose for?
That's here too, Kyle. You know he gonna get multiple suits, so you know Lucius is gonna cook up another suit for him.
Lucius wasn't even prevalent.
Not yet.
Covered up.
Oh yeah.
Is there any Batman suit where his mouth is covered up?
Yeah, Batman.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Batman. No, that's another one too. I remember. Well, technically now too, the new Batman, also the one that's the black Batman, is also covered now.
Oh well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know why I was mentally only thinking of in the universe of just like young Bruce Wayne and old Bruce Wayne. You're absolutely right. What is his name? Batwing has a fully closed mask because he's black and he's smart. Yeah. And he wants to cover his whole face.
But
it'd be a nice little backstory if you see his face shot like I learned last time.
But if we're going off the internet jokes, he has to show his white privilege. So he has to have that open.
Don't shoot.
Like I told Dion, that was the star of this movie. White privilege was definitely the star of this movie. But let's jump into it. So the premise of the story, man, we start off first with like the corruption of Gotham. The mayor walking in his house, and we got the Riddler just posted up like a fucking creep.
Man, I love that they made the Riddler creepy though, because of that. Because like every iteration of the Riddler, we got two iterations of the Riddler always. We got full on like goofy, but still, you know, challenging the mind. And then we had just full on mind games, like the person who was just like, they're intellectual, but they still, like, he still had like flair to him. You know, he was still the Joker with a little bit of flair. This one felt like they were like, all right, we making Riddler Jigsaw. Like, that's how, like, I got Jigsaw 5 from him, because it was like all mind games, but like deadly ass mind games.
And Batman and Gordon were not great detectives. Every single one of their clues were failures. They was like, oh, the flying bat. No,
the
flying
Loretta. Bat.
Oh, ooh, no. I mean the...
oh, no, no.
Like, L or La? Damn it.
Did you? And you know penguins got wings too.
Yeah, that was weird.
They failed everything.
I was like, okay. And so that we do move on to that part. So, like, of course, we get to the part, you know, Riddler has done his deed and stuff like that. And we have Batman and them come in just like they said, not really great detectives. And then also, too, I never and in my life thought of Commissioner Gordon being black. But then when I saw Jeffrey Wright, I was like,
I don't see
if he was black, now. That's it. That's it, right?
He don't have the title as commissioner, though.
No, he was lieutenant at the time. Yeah, he was lieutenant at the time, so he hasn't got commissioner yet. But you,
the commissioner was killed.
Yeah. Was that him? Was that the guy that came in and was pissed off and stuff like that?
The one that was like, why do you have him here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was okay.
So when you say that, I completely agree. When I look at, that was the first time you ever saw Gordon really similar to the cartoons with Batman, as far as like them working together side by side, because what's the guy who was in Christopher Nolan's joint? Gary Oldman.
Yeah, Gary.
His Gordon was working with Batman, but he was still in the dark. You know what I'm saying? And even Ben Affleck's J.K. Simmons was still, you know, in this like separate, but this one was right in the mix with him. And then when you see him become this detective, I'm like, all right, it's year two. They ain't solving shit for real yet. This is year two for real.
Yeah. Right. And he trusted Batman. He was like, let me tell you something, man. I'm gonna lose my fucking job with you, man. Yeah. I'm gonna give you this key, man. I'm just
like, hey, just
like, we can hear everything.
Thank you. I was like, wait. So they heard, who do you think you are? I'm like, you said that the same tone as you just said, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Your tone did not change at all.
I found it hilarious that it was like, in black people fashion, we're going to give you the, all right, man, hey, listen, cuz, let me tell you.
he didn't detect what they doing. They had something in mind. They doing this. All of a sudden. Said, what do you mean? They planned that.
He said, man, you could have pulled back one of your punches. I did. I was like, oh, shit. That was a punch, boy. Yeah, that was a crazy.
He socked you out. Like, yeah. Oh my God. I was like, yo, Commissioner Gordon is tough. I was like, bro.
A cop in their faces, and they was like, next scene, okay, he's good now. We
right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna meet you at the traffic light. But again, too, though, you gotta admit though, it really don't seem that surprising. That's how you see the GCPD. Like, first of all, why are there always 800 cops around doing nothing?
Nothing.
No other crimes, nowhere else.
Nowhere else.
Follow Batman.
Yeah, it was just like, yo, then you get into an interrogation room. Why are there 347 of you in here? I want to take his mask off. Like, why are y'all here?
Wait, yo. When the black dude reached the church, I was like, man, what are you doing, dog?
You see him in your face.
What are you doing?
It was so funny. Everybody had moved on. His back was turned. He was like, let's take that goddamn. I was like,
and that's what it was. It was big. Man, give me that shit.
Give me that motherfucker. Bro, I'll tell you something I didn't notice until I had a conversation afterwards about it. This is going to blow y'all mind. So also, I love Matt Reeves for giving us backstory on Martha Wayne, because we've never had
that. Right? Yes.
So when he said the Waynes and the Arkhams were the most popular and wealthiest families in Gotham, I say, oh shit, that's why he's the elite. I thought they were just talking about Thomas Wayne's money and his lineage.
Yeah.
But showing Martha, let me hit you with this twist. Martha was originally an Arkham. Arkham Asylum, Arkham Hospital, that means this nigga Bruce owns Arkham Asylum where he's sending all these criminals, which is double dipping as fuck.
That's wild.
So who's right? the real villain here?
Exactly.
How you throwing niggas in a hospital and a jail that you own? That's how you
finally own.
I never knew that.
But you know what, too, though? I'm glad that they put that out, but then that also gets us kind of too prepared. And I think Matt Reeves may have given that away for Flashpoint. Because also in Flashpoint, because of Bruce dying in Flashpoint, Bruce is actually killed. Martha loses her mind and becomes the Joker.
Joker, yeah.
But that now leads back though to her being an Arkham and her having mental problems already. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yo, I love seeing that they gave, like how you said, CT, giving cracks and flaws within the Waynes and stuff like that. And then too, Matt Reeves has also hinted that he wants to now bring in the Court of Owls for the next one. So it's just like, yo, who introduced them? Was it Martha's family that was in the Court of Owls? Mm. Was it Thomas Wayne, or was Wayne even accepted into there? It's like, yo, there's now a whole bunch of layers they've added to that by giving us those cracks and flaws in the Thomas family.
Here's the funny thing. Learning all of this information is mind-blowing because, like I said, I know so much about Batman. Did not know Martha was originally in Arkham and she had the mental problems from there. I knew the Flashpoint story of her being crazy, but I'm like, how does this doesn't make sense. But hearing you say that, Will, makes even more sense. But now here's the caveat. Who the fuck is the second movie? Because Dion saying Mr. Freeze, you saying Court of Owls, Deuces is saying Joker. Oh, it's like, what the fuck is part two?
I got you. Because you know they got a Gordon movie spinoff.
They just pulled that. They're not gonna be doing that one. So they're supposedly tying it in with the Arkham series. So it's supposed to be three of them: Penguin, Arkham, and GCPD. But they're pulling the GCPD one and trying to combine it inside of Arkham.
Yeah, I don't need a separate GCPD because I feel like that would be Gotham.
Yeah, I was gonna say Gotham was all of that.
And they all dirty. I don't want to see a whole bunch of fucking dirty cops and one clean cop. That's the
right. It's just like, yo, that's not a long, that's like a good limited series. Because
that was legit Gotham. Everybody was damn near dirty. Like it was, but you know, also learning that information about Martha, it also makes you question the Martha Wayne. And
why did you say that name? Why did you say that name?
It makes you question their relationship in general. Like, did you guys really love each other, or was this a power move?
Was this,
you know, knowing how political everything is in Gotham, is like, was this sanctioned and set up to gain that power between two individuals?
That's what you said, Deuce. That goes back to something I told y'all in our group.
Oh,
that may be Alfred's kid, bro.
Boy.
Oh,
boy.
Them lonely nights, Martha went to that study.
Oh, boy.
Hello, Martha. Oh. I'm just saying, because you know when he kept saying, you're not my father, I'm Alfred. And Alfred was going, look at that, like.
Alfred was like, hey, I mean, hey.
That's a good
point. Like, okay. They're like, why you got these cufflinks? Huh, if you knew.
That's a great point. You knew. He gave them to me. I mean, she gave them to me.
Well. I mean, your father gave them to me.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
That's so interesting. I think. Oh, yeah, the movie in total gave us a lot of information that was necessary. It showed him in different lights. It's year two, so I stalled him out with a lot. Yeah. But I did enjoy the fact that the city was already had a level of fear from seeing the bat signal compared to crime just being so rampant. But I would love to see a Mr. Freeze because of the water.
Yeah, but I think even to Dion's point, like how we and how to your point as well, and Deuce, we saw so many characters be introduced to here. It makes it even more like exciting to see like you adding several others. So I can see the Freeze element. I can see the Court of Owls element being added to there. I can see now where we leave Penguin off at.
Yeah.
Where's Batman? And then too, if you wanted to maybe introduce another one, because what it looks like it's building to is kind of like the Arkham video game. So even I'm seeing like building the seawall, you might make that old Gotham and cut that shit off. And then that becomes your new ghettos. Yeah. And so you might have that area. So I think too, it's just like your start. I think we're going to start seeing the expansion of Gotham. Because even too, as much as we saw the fear we had of it, we still didn't see a lot of Gotham.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to see everything it could possibly be. We saw downtown, we saw the Iceberg Lounge, we saw a brief part of Wayne Tower, which we learned is not a part of downtown. Right. So there's so many other areas that we didn't get to see in this universe that Matt Reeves created, which can give those elements for a Mr. Freeze, for a Quarter Isles, and whoever else they want to throw into.
Let me tell you how dope their marketing department is. You know that website at the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go to look it up. I looked it up. It's another like deciphering thing.
Yep.
And once you figure out all the letters, it you says
answer a string of questions. Once you answer the questions,
right,
it reveals. Yeah.
And then there's the video of Bruce Wayne's father doing his little speech. And then it says "Hush," which is obviously a
Riddler,
right? Yeah. But it's like you're a fraud. And then at the end it says, "You think I'm finished, but perhaps you don't know the full truth. Every ending is a new beginning. Something is coming." Yeah. I mean, I had to do a lot of deciphering to figure that out, but I was like, "That's you gonna have to give me some more of that." Like you,
well, this is that's why I was saying when you're talking about who he is, and this is what I've gotten from the research of looking into it. They were saying that in the next movie, again, that's why I was trying to figure out where the next movie going to go. We will see Riddler reprise his role, but he's also going to be like there's going to be some sort of team up with the Joker. So it's not only going to, that's what I heard at, you know, from the reading of it. But again, like I said, I like the storyline of Mr. Freeze a little bit better. But I also with the Batman, the whole movie, the one thing that I did love a lot was how other people took vengeance. Like vengeance, like, you know, Batman, he made that his thing, right? And he had his interpretation of what vengeance was. So when the reveal happened and one of Riddler's goons said, "I am vengeance," and he saw it, it was like, yo, you say a word like vengeance, everybody's gonna have their own interpretation of what that actually means. So like where Batman is trying to use fear and vengeance as justice, where these other people, they look at it justice, but they really wanna wreak havoc. And I love how that was a theme throughout the movie. Like, what is vengeance actually? And
they don't call him Batman. They call him like once or twice.
Yeah.
It's like you look like a bat, but they called him vengeance more.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me look up what vengeance means. Do y'all know what the vengeance definition is? I know y'all know it probably, but it's punishment inflicted or retribution exact for injury or wrong. Something like this nigga was like, I'm gonna find all the people that's doing wrong and cause harm to you.
Mm. Well, yeah, no, if you go back to when they switched it to the 80s, like that's what we saw with this Batman. It was like, yo, like how CT had mentioned, when you saw that bat signal, it's supposed to strike fear into you. Like, you look at this dark spot and you like, nah, I'm out, bro. I'm out. Because like, yo, if you get caught by the bat, you going home with a broken limb on somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But y'all remember the animated series? He used to always say, "I am vengeance. I am the Dark Knight. I am the Batman." So if the first one is vengeance, hopefully the second one could be, I don't know, I'm trying to make it into a poetry.
Right. Yeah, I am the knight. But then too, like you say, break down the knight in so many different ways. Now you can start to also get, is he going to be the Dark Knight? But is he also going to be Gotham's white and shining knight and start going into the Bruce Wayne element of putting his money back into the city? There's so many ways of going there. And just like how you said in the third film, that's when it at the end becomes, "I am Batman." And then as CT said in the fourth film, that's when we get the Batman we know.
So because you may have a point on how that. You look at Tom Holland and he was great. You know, all three, well, the first two movies were really, you know, they were cool. It was like, oh, this is great. But he was coddled. He's the most coddled Spider-Man we had ever had. And then in part three, when he truly suffered loss and dealt with the shit that Spider-Man deals with and making the big bad decisions. And now he had no more help outside of these other two Spider-Man who had also done what he had done. It was like, all right, now I'm finally Spider-Man. Yeah. Now my journey really begins with this fourth movie. So with this Batman joint, it's like, I don't want to see a Robin in this world either. To be honest with you, he's way too young to adopt a Robin.
I mean, technically, though, you kind of saw him.
You think that was him? The whole movie, I was thinking it was.
It's
him.
The same character. It's the same actor. So,
that little boy.
Yeah, from the train station. For those that don't know, if you've seen the scene where he's in the train station and it's the guy with the half painted mask, he's actually Tim Drake's Robin in Titans.
And but he's too old.
And he didn't beat him up. So I was kind of like, that's kind of cool that it was like, you know, I know that's not what, I know that's most likely so not I it. But
I wasn't talking about him. I was actually talking about the little boy that Dion was
the mayor's son?
Yeah, oh, the mayor's son?
The whole movie, I was like, are they trying to position
him? Hell no.
And then I said, I didn't want that either. That's what I was trying to wonder, because I'm like, yo, all right, like in this world, how does Robin fit? I don't see a circus coming to Gotham, bro. It's covered in water. Like, I don't see how they're going to do it. Like, unless...
I mean, but again, too, we have... Again, there's still a whole bunch of other parts of Gotham we haven't seen. Because you can think about, too, from that standpoint, Poison Ivy's part. Like, where is there a botanical garden at in this butt-fuck of a city?
And Selena left for Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
You know what bothers me about... I know it needs to happen. What bothers me when it's chaos happening, people are dying, water is coming in, people get electrocuted, things are falling down. You get the moments of like, thank you. I'm like, no, we're still in chaos. Yeah. I don't need to see a kiss right now.
That's movies in general. It shit can be happening, and it'll be me in the movie like, CT, I gotta tell you how much you mean to me, brother. Like, my whole life, I ain't had somebody believe in me like how you believe in me. And it's like, the world's about to destroy. Can we wait until we survive that?
Yeah. I'm gonna stop the nigga's hand off. Are you talking about this right now? Can you two get back into this fucking fight? Like, what? Shot me in my arm. Like, yo, what are you doing right now?
I heard y'all mention y'all seen it more than once. I definitely can't watch it again. It was also a very long movie, but yeah. I enjoyed it, but it was
taxing on the body. Like, that's how I started getting to it. It was taxing on the body, man. Like, you know, you start getting them squeamishes when you...
Oof.
Yeah.
You got to be like this. And then you start, like, you hitting 3 hours and you start getting to the point of, like, I like the movie, but are we getting to the end? Because I don't want to get up and leave. I don't want to just be weird standing up in the movie theater.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yo, is it almost there? So it's just like, I think too, though, it'll be dope when it comes out in like, you know, for video and on streaming services.
Speed through.
Yeah, you can speed through some of the parts too.
But when you look at, so I'll give you this, I agree with you 100%. And that's not how I felt with the Justice League Snyder Cut. And that was longer. Like, I watched the Snyder Cut, I was like, all right, cool. And watched it again because I was like, it moved. It gave me action. It gave me the adventure. It gave me story. But the only low points were right before Martian Manhunter. And then I was like, all right, let me fast forward to seeing him become it. Then let's keep going.
That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I really wish Warner Brothers saw the bigger picture versus the financial gain of the Snyder Cut, but it just wasn't financially smart to have that 8 hours of footage and you only can play it twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
so he's like, we gotta chop this 8 hour project down to 2 hours. And he's like, how?
Well, 4 hours, but
4 hours.
You're absolutely right. They could only play the movie, let's see, realistically, no, three times. Because the movie opens at 11 a.m.
Okay, count.
So 12, 1, 2, 3. Then you do another one it'll start at 3:30. So it's like 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30.
Yeah, so you still got
to clean. That's why I said 30. Clean.
Yeah, and then now you got to sanitize too because of COVID. So
they not sanitizing shit, but I hear what you're saying.
Y'all giving the theaters way too much.
Hey, man. They might sponsor one of these, man. If y'all clean these theaters, great. I'll be safe, feeling safe, and no sticky at all when I sit down on these things.
So they will play at 11 to 3, and then 3:30 to... So you got at least three times to play the movie a day, and that's in one theater. So if they, just like every big box office theater, they're going to have at least five screens dedicated to this. So you got...
Three versus 15?
No, I hear you, but I'm just saying that it would still make a lot of money because they would have a lot of screens.
So I wanted to ask y'all something because I thought this was interesting as well. So with the Riddler,
I can't do my very, very close friend Dion like that with success and not do you that with ask. So go ahead, brother. I gotta ask y'all a question. I gotta ask. What's the
grammar Nazi I am? All
right. With every iteration of the Riddler that we got, his motivation was to prove that he was smarter than Batman and Bruce. Yeah,
succeeded.
Right. In this one, he essentially seen Batman as an equal and kind of used them as like, oh, yeah, we taking on together. So I thought that was a different take that I enjoyed. How did you guys feel about that?
It was weird. It was like, because you could see Batman be like, hold on, I didn't help you. And it's like, yeah, you helped me. No, I didn't. Yeah, you helped me. I couldn't have done it without you. Yeah, you did it all by yourself. And he's like, nah, motherfucker, you fucking solved those clues. Yeah. Exactly. I couldn't get him into the light. I'm frail as fuck.
You're right. Who put him into that street light for me? You did.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then.
I love the fake out. Bruce Wayne. He said, no, motherfucker. He said, that's the only one I didn't get. He said,
You didn't get him. That's right.
Thought you knew.
Here's everything you just described. That's what Robert Pattinson's eyes told just.
Yeah.
He said, whew, that's crazy.
Man.
You almost had us.
Riddler was like, you're not as smart as I thought you were. No, neither are you. I thought you knew who I was. We both done today.
He was looking at that camera. He's like, fuck the camera on. I can't go in there and kill him.
Right.
Yeah, damn.
I didn't think about that's why they showed that camera. But now I can't go in and kill him.
Turn around, look at the camera like.
Because, yo, that's another thing I said, too. This was the first time we saw Batman kill people. Because when they were in that stadium and that little, the thing they was on the scoreboard fell, I was like, all them dudes fell out. I'm like, all them dudes are dead. All of them. Then none of them survived because the water wasn't there yet.
Even in the train station, dog, he beat that nigga to a pulp. Vengeance. Like, bro. I was like, dang, dog.
The dude up top, too. And he's okay. Oh, okay. So that's one thing I did want to bring up, too. So I wanted to ask y'all opinion. So do you remember the part? So is that towards the end, after he was shot with the shotgun, took full shotgun to the chest, and we're going to talk about this invincibility ass motherfucker, too, next. When he was down, he took something that people would first off think is adrenaline. But I noticed that it was green. So I wanted to pose to y'all, could that possibly be the first glimpse of the toxin that Bane gets a hold of to become Bane?
Was it green? I didn't know.
It was green.
And that's what I was, I'm like, okay, they didn't introduce the Joker yet, so it can't be the Joker toxin. It can't be fear toxin because, you know, Strange.
We don't know about Scarecrow yet.
They didn't even set it up,
like, back at the Batcave of, like, make sure you take this. They didn't even show it at all. They just kind of like, we got to figure out a way to get this nigga back on. Like, oh, he just had the utility belt.
That would have been fine. That would have been fine until the next part. Why the fuck you got a special hole to put this in? Now I need backstory.
I need backstory on that. Why the fuck do you have a hole?
Because somebody would have said, how did he get that through him if he blocking bullets? They was like,
I get it, but I'm saying we need to know how many times have you microdosed patrolling the city for you to have a hole in your costume.
And now niggas know he got a hole right there. Shoot that little hole right there.
So hold him down. Hold him down.
Hold him down. He got a little opening right there. He got a Death Star in his knee.
That's so ridiculous.
Hold him down. He's on crutches, man.
He moving his legs. Come on, man. Let my arms go.
Come on, man.
Help me out.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
But you know what? It could be that because if I'm trying to think of, if I'm not mistaken, the toxin that Bane takes, before Bane start taking it, it is being produced. So once he start taking it, it's just the reason why it's so crazy for him to take it is because he takes it in massive doses, and that's what turns Bane into who he is. So it could be that they just, again, they didn't address anywhere what the toxin was, where it came from, or anything like that. So it's like,
I'm glad he used something in that fucking utility belt, because he was rarely going into it.
He was rarely going at that motherfucker. But I like too, though, because like how Dion had mentioned with the freeze thing, I like that it didn't go into it, because it does help you want to tie in things a little bit more. Because, and the reason why I mentioned that, because I believe Ace Chemical Plant makes that. And so now we could get introduced to Ace Chemical Plant, which could also be the leading people who's helped in Victor Freeze solve this seawall crisis. And then thus this, where you tie in the chemicals that he's using along with Nora, and then how he becomes Mr. Freeze. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, those could just be the possibilities. Like we said, it could be adrenaline, because, you know, but did he really need that after everything we've seen him do, like take a bomb to the face?
His energy was depleted by the time he took that adrenaline. He was getting his ass whooped, and he had just taken a shotgun. Here's the thing. I will say, Batman is an incredible, incredible hero, but he's probably the most unsuccessful superhero of all time. These are villains that we're being introduced to that he's going to fight for the next 20 years, and Gotham's crime rate never goes down.
Never.
So it's like he's wasted 20 some years of his life for nothing.
Right.
They're not afraid. I mean, they're afraid, but they're gonna get out and do the exact same thing. Yeah. And then new villains are coming up.
That's why Gotham got to be the worst city in comic book city history, because how many times has it been toppled? It's been ran over by Poison Ivy and her gas. It's been ran over by Doctor Strange and the fear gas. It's been ran over by Joker and the Joker gang. Ran over by Pink. It was like, damn.
Why isn't the population 7? Why are people still living?
Right.
How cheap is the rent?
That's what I've been wanting to know. Like, how much is it for you to stay here? You see what's going on. Like, I'm sorry. Like, once I see one city get a whole bombing in a seawall, I'm moving. I don't want to live here no more.
It's not even a bombing. It's like, wait, so you mean the whole city got a cloud over it that makes you see your worst fears? Like, that's
I ain't even getting to that one. I'm talking about the one for this story.
No, I'm just saying, though, it's like, and then people still, like, when it's done, Batman saves the day, and you don't. Your first thought is like, "All right, I'm moving the fuck out of here. I'm going to Metropolis." Your first thought is like, "All right, we good. I gotta go to work tomorrow."
Listen, like, no. Metropolis will be my first stop, only because at least if I'm about to be in some life-threatening danger, this Superman is gonna fly out of nowhere to help me. Yeah. Batman said it himself: "I can't get to everybody," and that alone, I don't like the odds. I can't get to everybody. I'm looking at dark shadows, and the signal came on, and you ain't in this dark shadow. Fuck that!
Right.
I need you to believe in yourself, so I can believe in you.
Right? But imagine you see that shit on social media, like you be sitting here, like Batman, just man, this nigga was 17 miles away. I knew he wasn't this little way, man. I'd go rob somebody again just because of that.
Like, you know what's funny? When you so cities, if we're thinking about the DC comic book universe. Cities that I would feel safe in: Metropolis and Green Lantern City. I think that's
Queen City.
Coast City.
Is it Queen? No, Queen or Coast City.
Queen is Oliver Queen's joint. Coast City is Green Lantern, I believe.
Oh, Lantern, you
Hal right. Jordan. Yeah. So Coast City, because you gotta understand, all Green Lantern's villains are in space. Yep. Ain't nobody on Earth, so you safe over there. And Metropolis, because Superman could possibly help you. But other than that, Gotham is a bad choice.
Yeah. See, here's why I wouldn't do Metropolis. Here's the thing people don't really be throwing out here, and I'm just going to say it.
Yep.
Superman's not graceful.
Oh, no.
So, especially for us. Like, first of all, you sitting here swooping in from the fucking sky coming down, the inertia alone when you didn't hit Lex Luger has just knocked me into the belly. I'm like, thank you, Superman, for saving me. My legs don't work no more, but thank you.
Yeah.
All you have to do is avoid downtown. When you watch any Superman series, he's never in the neighborhood. He's always downtown. So as long as you don't work downtown or you don't go downtown, if you work on the block, you know what I'm saying? I work at the AT&T store on the corner. Like, you good, because nothing ever happens there.
There should be a lot of accidental deaths. I hear you, Will. There should be a lot of accidental deaths with Superman, because there's no way you can punch a villain, save somebody, like, equally, like, trying to, like, block somebody, but he's like, I didn't crush this dude's head on accident.
Yeah, like the boys proved that. I was like, yo.
Too hard.
So when you get thrown into a building, no one died? That's what you let me know. No, you didn't. Like, yo, Steve right. did not. Steve didn't make it. He's not making it to the 3 o'clock meeting because he's inside the wall.
When people fall meeting. And in like when Spider-Man, the second one. When
the Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, it should be a lot of that. Like, he catches somebody like, I caught you, but everything broke.
Yeah. So that's why I'm a little skeptical about being there. Like you said, Coast City good because you ain't there. We just get to just
Central City
is Flash.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
But there's too many speedster villains
in
Central City. So it's like there's too many people that I can't see that can fuck me up.
The boys taught us that too at the beginning with the girlfriend. Yeah. Can you just imagine you just standing there and then that would happen to you? Like, yo, I'm like, no, I'm cool. And then also as well, Flash, not graceful at all.
Especially because he'll grab you and run you at his top speed out of way. They're like, no, my body can't take this. Your body can. I can't take these high speeds, bro.
He's a good boy.
They're like, thank you, citizen. Oh, I passed out because I can't breathe. Because you were going at Mach 7 and ain't no air.
When we look at Batman, this version of Batman, we look at the Joker movie before it. Of course, all these directors change their mind when money gets involved because the director of the Joker was like, yeah, this is only going to be a one-off. Oscar buzz, $1 billion. Yeah, we're going to make a sequel. It's like, exactly. So this Batman making the money, people talking about it. Well, we could incorporate him in the universe in probably like a year and a half. So I feel like had they not given, and I love Snyder, had they not given Snyder such a long leash, we could have gotten all of these heroes their year two versions, and then they could have went into the next 10 to 12 years perfectly. However, the Wonder Woman we have, she can't be around for the next 12, 14 years.
How I told you, like, they should have made her the anchor and made her the Iron Man of their DC stuff. Because again, she goes throughout history. Let her be the one that let them know, like, hey, y'all all kind of starting on this. Let y'all know what's really been going on with this stuff and what really is here. And so it's just like, yo, that would have let us know about Darkseid. That would have let us know about all the other things that we didn't really know about and letting them kind of come together too. Because I would have loved, like you said, I would love to see like a year or two Aquaman. Yeah. Just brash, don't care.
Well, he kind of is that right now. Like old. The Momoa. Exactly. He's old, but he's still a year two Aquaman. They showed us that with Justice League and, well, with Batman vs. Superman, Justice League, and the Aquaman movie. The Aquaman movie damn near made him his year two. We haven't even gotten a Flash yet. All of that shit got pushed back to next year, which is annoying as fuck. Man. And then you look at who else? We still don't even have a Green Lantern. We got a Martian Manhunter, but do we? Because they just said everything from Snyderverse is gone, except for the heroes we've already established.
Well, we still don't know who a Batman is, because also, too, they're talking about from Flashpoint, Michael Keaton's Batman is the Batman of that universe.
Well, we also don't know Superman. With the Henry Cavill situation, because even at the end of Peacemaker, the reason why Superman is the only
in the shadows
you can't see in the shadows is
and Wonder Woman
and Wonder Woman because Gal Gadot said she wasn't sure if she's gonna come back for a third movie.
What? She's not sure.
Because I think the person who directed the first two, they haven't locked her in, and the lady that directed the first two, she only wants to work with her in making these.
Well, let me tell you something. Based off how number two was, she might want to seek some other outside.
So we got to talk about probably one of the most epic Batman scenes that we've seen. That was that Batmobile car chase.
That's funny.
The fact
that it was. Am I the only one?
That car was on year two as well.
It definitely was.
That was a Challenger.
I was like, I don't think that went how that y'all thought that was gonna go. No. Like, I saw what y'all were trying to do as like hinting for like, yo, Penguin, go get in your car. I want to do a car chase. But then too, it's like, why would I go do a car chase with you?
But that scene was, you can't tell me that scene wasn't dope as fuck.
That scene was fire.
Until the ramp came down perfectly. That was the perfect scene.
No, how you kept dodging cars perfectly in the rain.
in the rain.
Man. I was like, so you ain't hit nobody?
Nobody.
Right. I was like, he whipping that motherfucker. But I was just like, the fear of that chase. Like, you really felt like, yo, this Batman don't give a fuck about nobody. He gonna run Penguin down and run him the fuck over. Like, that's how I felt. And I thought that that whole scene was dope. Even like when Penguin, when Cobblepot started celebrating, like, he legit thought, like, yeah, I got your ass. And when he came through, you can see it in his face, like, bruh, I ain't got nothing else. I done did all my tricks. Like, I really love that scene.
What we failed to mention is, again, 23 people minimum died on that car chase. And Batman is still
at large.
That white privilege was in full effect on that highway. Cause bro, I can't tell how many million, how many billions was probably lost,
bro.
Not all them 18 wheelers that crashed on that gas.
Not even people, dog. He was fucking up businesses. That dog, them semis had
businesses. No somebody wait for gas in Missouri. Like, what the where the gas at?
They're like, no wonder gas is $6 a gallon now. Batman blowing shit up over here. That's why.
Why y'all high fiving this nigga, man? We broke. He didn't burn down our grocery store.
I heard the description for Batman, and it was the greatest I'd ever read. They said, Batman is the true villain because he's this rich white man that's trying to keep all of these people away from getting money.
Bro, let me find out he owns the insurance companies as well. Like, hey, you know, we don't cover Batman. Like we saw, he owns Wayne, he owns all the technology, he owns the asylum, and he owns the insurance company. Like, that, he triple dipping.
That's what I would like to see, though. I would like to see exactly what does Wayne own. Like, what does Wayne Corp actually do? Like, they never tell us that. Like, what do you actually do? And what do you actually own? Bad as far as, like, characters go, Batman, Robert Pattinson is growing on us and stuff. His Bruce Wayne could definitely catch a little bit. But of course, though, you know, we definitely want to know what y'all think. So we want to let y'all know. For thank you for joining us here on the Straight Out of a Comic Book Show. Of course, Young Deuce CT and Dion Lack, thank y'all for joining me today. Of course, another extended episode. And that's why I love these, because we go deep into it. We dive in. We go even to other places and stuff. And folks love that. And so, like, just like us, we can't wait to see what's next for Batman. But before we go, I always like my guests to shout out what they got coming up. So I want to start with, of course, Young Deuce, CT, then Dion, and then we are going to go ahead and call it another great episode. Young Deuce, you have the floor.
All right, man. What? Thank you again for having me, man. I told you I truly appreciate being a part of these panels, man, and just being able to deep dive into the stuff that we love. If you guys want to follow me, man, it's Young_Deuces everywhere or at Geek Set Podcast. By the time this air, I'm putting out an interview with Jordan L. Jones, aka he's the new Jazz in Bel Air. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that should be out. Also, you know, if you haven't checked it, man, I interviewed Kadeem Hardison. Amazing episode. That's out, man. That's been really dope. That episode, this season's been, I've been talking to a lot of legends, man. I've got a chance to talk to Kel Mitchell. I talked to Cedric Yarbrough. I talked to Kadeem Hardison. And all of those episodes are out. So, you know, go to youtube.com/geeksetpodcast. Watch those interviews, man, because they're really dope. And if you haven't, one of the biggest things that I'm trying to make sure that I amplify for Black History Month, I know it's passed, but I did reach out to over 30 blurbs and I asked them three questions. I asked them, what does Black History Month mean to you? What makes you proud to be Black? And Black History Month plus blurred culture, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And the conversations that I had with people were so dope. And it was, what was really dope about it was this is 30 blurbs across the world. And though we all have different walks of life, there was so much similarities to how we were taught Black History Month and the things that we connect with and how our upbringing was with it. And I'm really, really big on making sure that I can amplify other people's voices. And because there were 30 plus blurbs on there from all walks of life saying some dope stuff, I hope that people watch these videos, see something that they like from some of these creators, and go follow them. So when you go to the video, within the description, it has everybody involved in the video, all their at information so you can follow them. But I really want to get more eyes on that video because it was such an important piece. And I thought it was really dope to do something for the culture, by the culture. We see so many white companies who pander during Black History Month reach out to creators and be like, okay, let's do something for Black History Month. And then they don't work with them ever again. I'm changing that. I said, you know what? Let me take that. I'm going to do that with Geek Set. I'm going to put together this BuzzFeed style video about Black History Month, but it's for us. But then throughout the years, I'm also going to be collaborating with all the people that you see in the video. So I just want to make sure we amplify that and show that team, you know, mentality and everything like that. So yeah, go to youtube.com/geeksetpodcast. That's where all of the information is, where all the videos. And thank you guys again.
Man, I wish you nothing but success continuously. I remember you posted in a group chat and I was like, hey man, not in the group chat, man. Send us this shit separate. And you never sent it separately because I was like, oh man, I wish I would have known.
I missed that part. I saw that, I was like, dang it, in my head,
remember, that's why I was like, yo, send it to him, because you sent it to me, and I was like, yo, send it to him.
In my head, I'm the newbie. I feel like in my head, I'm still in training where y'all trying to figure out, like, is dudes cool or not? So I was like, when you said that, I was like, damn, I'm about to get kicked out the group chat.
Here's the funny thing. You would never get kicked out the group chat. It's just like, because I'll tell you, because I got another group chat on my IG. It's the Team CT All Day, right? Where I got like a lot of the members of the squad in there. And I tell them all, I'm like, yo, this is for us to send each other memes and say some wild funny shit. But nope, like one dude was like, yo, y'all join my Discord. I said, hey man, this ain't for that. If anything, it's gonna be CT news in this bitch. You understand? But nobody promoting. And then another cat tried to promote, and I was like, look, and I had to end the group and I had to form another group because, you know, when it's so many people in that group, you know, just to say it lightly, you know, a lot of people might not have a lot of followers, right? So they see a lot of numbers in the group and they're like, I'm about to just promote to these people. And it's like, that's not what this is for. So with this group that we're all in, I was like, I'm so shell shocked from that. I'm like, no, please, no advertisements here. Just send it to me separately, which anything that you ever want me to rock on, send it to me separately. I'm in. But I thought, like, every time I see y'all names pop up in the group chat, I think I'm about to get some brand new superhero news. So I'm like, oh shit. And I open it up and it's like, hey guys, y'all. I'm like, god damn it.
You know what I'm saying? It's just me in my head. Like, I'm like, oh shit, dog. They about to kick me out.
Deuce is wild. Literally, Deuce is wild.
But yeah, CT, you up.
Hey man, CT is dope on everything. Just type that in. Deion Lack, fresh off the birthday. The
hey,
big 4-0.
Yes,
hey, look!
The timing. And it's off.
I apologize.
You're the GOAT, bro.
Video went off. First things first. Goat. Thank y'all, man, for including your boy. We should call ourselves the laxative, Black laxatives, you know, because we don't hold back shit.
I like to call back.
I have two podcasts, one with Chasmin Rogers called Lacaroni and Chaz, and I have another one called Random Ass Conversations with Twills. And I got two studios in Los Angeles. You're more than welcome to come by and shoot interviews, movies, TV shows, photo shoots, anything you want. I have a piano here, you know, portray a music video. Yeah, that's it, man.
Yes, indeed. You can also go to him if you are trying to become a potential superhero on how to undress quickly and put on your costume.
I didn't even know. Oh, man.
I tell you, if he pop back up in 2 seconds and he fully dressed, I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what's going on. No, I don't. But, of course, y'all already know, follow me, everything at Will Favreau. That's P-H-R-A-O-H. You can check out on my YouTube channel, I have Favreau's Vault. Of course, here, straight out of a comic book, and as well as Arcade Tokens, All Dev Cannabis, and All Dev Gaming. You can check me out there as well. But we want to thank y'all for tuning in for another episode of Straight Outta Comic Book. Make sure you like and subscribe, and then let us know, how did you feel about the Batman movie? Okay, try to keep the spoilers to a minimum and stuff, but feel free to talk about it in the comments below, and we will catch you next time.
We'll catch you next time.
Boom. Toodaloo.